When we think about Jesus, Jesus brought change. Everywhere he went, he brought change. His teaching changed common traditions into sources of conflict. His healings changed suffering into gladness. His very first miracle was a miracle of change. He changed water into wine. I heard about a church, not this church, that suffered an unexpected change. As in many churches, there's a rotation for people preparing communion. Each person on the list was responsible for purchasing grape juice for the morning services. One Sunday, as people were reflecting on the meditation that had been shared, the bread and the cup trays were passed. When people tasted the juice, there were some unhappy faces. The grape juice wasn't right. It wasn't spoiled, it just wasn't right. After an unofficial investigation, it was discovered that the person preparing communion was doing so for the first time. She went to the grocery store, saw the price of the national name brand. All experienced communion preparers know the official brand to be used, and saw the price of the discount juice. Assuming all grape juice is the same, she purchased the less expensive brand. Most of us know the difference between inexpensive and cheap. What was served that Sunday morning was cheap. There was another more official meeting, and from that time forward, only the nationally known brand was used in preparing communion. I've discovered two things most people don't like. First, we don't like the way things are. And second, we don't like change. In many churches, it can be unwelcome to make a change in the part of the service in which we share the Lord's Supper. And yet, our communion time is a time for change. Oh, certainly not the brand of grape juice or the types of bread that we use. Communion is a time for a change in each of us. Consider the words of 1 Corinthians 11. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body, eats and drinks judgment on himself. As we examine ourselves, we must be honest. Where we find sin, where we find disobedience to our Lord, where we find selfishness, we must change. We must repent and rid our lives of these behaviors and habits. Should there be a change in our communion? Yes, a change in me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time around the Lord's table to remember and honor the sacrifice of Christ through the taking of the bread and juice together. Lord, this is an individual and collective activity. Lord, we desire not to be who we are, but Lord, we acknowledge that change is difficult. So Lord, we just pray for your forgiveness and your mercy. Thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that they are paid in full. And Lord, mold us and shape us as we are your clay, Lord. Thank you for Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Several of you had the opportunity to meet Bob Boone downstairs. For any of the rest of you who have not yet met Bob, I hope you will get to greet him and let him know of your appreciation for being with us today. Bob Boone is the president of PTREA, and we are just very, very excited about the program that is actually flourishing. I think you're going to agree. Would you welcome today Bob Boone, our special guest.
Can you roll that video to start? So I'm pretty flexible, so obviously I'm not running on video today.
Is it not going?
It's at the beginning of that PowerPoint.
There's nothing.
On the MS one. Morning service. Okay, well, we'll get without the video. Sorry about that. It's a little video and tells you about the Prairie Township Religious Ed and where we started, but we'll go with the first slide now, I guess. My name is Bob Boone. I'm with Prairie Township Religious Ed. I've been on the board for 10 years. I've got to teach the last 6 or 7 years. That looks about right. I'll add some other things, comments to these statements, so I'll back in the time to it. The reason why I went to Prairie Township Religious Ed was that someone came to our church, Thompson Road Baptist Church, 10 years ago and said, Lynn'd like to come in and present Prairie Township Religious Ed. We had nothing to do with them, and we didn't know about them, and so this guy came in, and our pastor, Pastor Tony Sluice, said, why don't you go check that out and make sure it's for real? Well, I went to the first board meeting, and I couldn't believe it. These people get to go into a public school and teach the Bible. I said, I want to be part of that. How do I do that? And they said, okay, you're a board member. That's another way. So it went really well. The reason why I'm so interested in the kids' programs is that I was saved at a young age in a joy club, Jesus, Others, and You club. Maybe some of you have heard that before, but many took a poll in the mornings, Sunday school, and there were many, a large percentage of people there that had done something with weekly religion to others or something like that, so that's good. I thank you for the privilege. The next slide. Thank you for the privilege that we get to speak here today. On behalf of the board, I want to thank you for your long-term support. The next slide is, only by your prayers and financial support will we be able to keep this program continue for the next 50 years. This is our 50th anniversary. There aren't many Bible clubs that last 50 years. We're 50 years today and going strong, and I hope we go another 50 years. I tell people all the time, I don't want to be the one to mess it up, so hopefully we can keep going, and the next generation will keep it going. So, Weekly Religious Ed was started in 1946 by a pastor, a local pastor in Indianapolis. They had started with 2,616 kids. And by 1958, this is an amazing fact, by 1958, they had grown the program to 20,000 kids per week with an annual budget of $200,000 a year. That's amazing. 200,000 kids. I would love to know what the percentage of kids in Marion County that were going to school in 1956, but I couldn't find that fact. Sadly, Weekly Religious Ed, through much persecution and our wonderful government deciding things that they shouldn't be doing in school, it ended in 1974. And 2 years later, 2 years before that, that the president or the founder had passed away. So people had given up the hope. They had decided that maybe they could not continue a program in all of Marion County. You know, they started in 1946. In 1948, the federal government said, y'all can't do that. You know, separation of church and state, you can't do that. You can't have weekly religious ed in the schools. So in 1948 on, all this weekly religious ed was outside of the schools. Think about the people that were doing it back in those days in 1948, having to take the kids out of a school program, walk them to another facility, either walk them or, you know, sometimes they got on transportation, but that's a huge feat for people to get done. In 1975, weekly religious transformed in 1975 by PTRI, Perry Townsend Religious Ed. A group of local Christians from all different denominations, and this is a non-denominational program, got together, which is kind of hard to believe. You know, I'm from Baptist. It wasn't too long ago when we all thought that only Baptists were going to be in heaven, so just kidding. But that's one of the things that really attracted me. These are all different kinds of churches, from Methodist and Christian and Baptist and Presbyterians. And it's just been amazing to work with all of the groups to get a program that's, we're all not going to agree on everything, but most of the basics we do agree on. And they all came together without argument and put this program together and started in 1975. There have been problems in that. We've had lawsuits, we've had people coming after us, but God has always prevailed and kept this program running. It's not us. We can only run this program because God allows us to run the program. All the issues in life, God took care of those problems. So, with the program being non-denominational, we still have, today we have a board. We had 13, two people died within the last year. We're looking for new board members to replace them. But, you know, hopefully with 11 people we still have, we will still go on. We'll still lead. We'll still do the things we're doing. You know, with the fact that we have in all 11 elementary schools, that's unbelievable. So there's 11 elementary schools, fourth and fifth grade. So we have 22 classes we teach a week. 22 classes. We have 16 teachers, and multiple teachers teach multiple classes. So it's been a huge blessing that we can have as people. The kids today, we have before school, after school, and during school programs. The during school programs, a lot of times these kids will take their lunch with them. They'll either eat in a trailer, which you'll see in a minute, or the fact that they'll just go without lunch, or they get lunch quickly and then they take them. I was telling them in the morning service, in Sunday school, we have one school, Abraham Lincoln. It's a wonderful program, and I love it because I like to teach controlled chaos. Just go, 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 go. So these kids get on the bus at Abraham Lincoln, go to a local church 3 minutes away, have a lesson, go back to the school 3 minutes away in 32 minutes. That is incredible. Most of our programs are an hour long. To get all of the information taken care of in 32 minutes is incredible. So what happens is you wind up teaching on the way over on the bus, and on the way back on the bus, and just to get everything in. So I think that is there a picture, one more picture there? Some of you might recognize this. The lady that's getting into the trailer, she went to our church. She recently has moved and went to another church now. She was the first person to get inside of a trailer in 1958. So it's pretty amazing that, I don't know if this is the same trailer that Steve went to. I told him, I'll take you down there sometime, see if his signature's in there someplace. But all the trailers were the same. We did own two of them. One was at Mary Bryan and one was at Glens Valley. And then one at Mary Bryan, we had to get rid of it because of some different principals and all that stuff. But it worked out now where you get to teach an after school program, and the numbers are crazy. You know, we had, we're teaching 325 kids a week the Bible, and most of them we get for an hour. So the kids come by their own free will. Their parents sign a card, says that they could come. It's amazing that they get to come and listen and learn and want to learn about God. So, I think that with all that, are you ready to go to the questions?
Sure.
Yeah. Steve had some questions. We're going to do a little bit of question and answer. If you have questions, you're sort of welcome to follow here. You can ask questions. I answer a lot of questions in the morning. If I don't know the answer, I will probably, I won't make it up, I promise. I'll find the answer for you, and then I will tell you.
We're going to start here with just a few questions that I wanted to kind of run by Bob as I looked over the materials, and in your bulletin, you maybe are already filling in some of the blanks of some of the statistics and so on. But I know, Bob, that you said that this program ceased in the total IPS system in 1974.
Yes.
And I know you said that there was a death of the founder of the program, but can you tell us a little bit more about why it was discontinued that particular year? Because the whole church and state kind of a argument was long before that, actually.
So it started in 1948 with the big lawsuit nationwide, and saying that they could no longer use the school facilities for these programs. So I think that what happens is that people started losing faith in the fact that they can keep these programs going. You know, as you start with 20,000 kids, think about the logistics in 1958 for 20,000 kids. We didn't have computers, we didn't have ways to keep track of them. This is all paper done, you know, keeping track of all these facts and figures and everything. And it was very difficult. So I'm, you know, most churches today I go into and you see dwindling numbers, and that started happening back in the 1950s, right? This isn't new that people are not going to church and being faithful and all those things. You obviously are, but I think it started back in those days that it's lower and lower and lower and lower. So people by 1974, there's no one driving the bus. You know, the founder he passed away, so there's no one getting people going out and doing this. So I don't know how the board was set up and all those things. That information was not available to me. But I got to believe that if people stop being led, then they stop following, right? There's no one to follow. So I think with this founder being, he died, which we're all going to die, but hopefully that we set up PTREA so that when I die, I'm going to die, I guarantee it. Someone else is going to follow me. Maybe it's one of you that's going to follow me and be the president or be teaching a class or be a helper in a class. It's all about continually promoting so that you can get the next generation involved. Our oldest teacher is 78. You're all hearing that? Our oldest teacher is 78 and our youngest teacher was 22. So we have all different ages, and we'd love to have you participate in it. And so if IPS got out of the business of teaching kids in 1974, I was so thankful that Perry Township Schools had this group of individuals. I don't know, and that was before I was born, whether or not the churches on the south side became stronger and the churches in inner city became weaker. I don't know that answer, but I suspect that's what's happening, right? Because we moved, my mother and father moved in Beech Grove in 1954 time frame. I wasn't born until 1960. Save y'all from doing the math, I'm 65. But I think that's what happens, right? Is your people move south and they fill up these churches down here. So not as many people downtown to happen. You know, if someone would be able to start the program in IPS, that would be awesome. Maybe we could start curbing some of the violence. I know that in PTRA we teach about the kids obeying God. You know, would God get in a fight? Would God take a gun to school? Would God cut somebody up? And all these things relate to how God would handle the situation. The kids don't realize that the Bible is the answer, right? God is the answer. It's not all these other programs. It's not PTRA. It's God's the answer. We're just showing them what God is. So, you know, I kind of answered three questions there. But
that's great. You alluded to my fourth grade experience with the old weekday religious education program, WRE. But I know when I came to this church, I was just delighted to hear that this program was still existent, at least here in this area on the south side. And yet you and I talked the other day about some of the resistance that there has understandably been over time. You even mentioned a moment ago about a lawsuit, and you were telling me a little bit about that. Can you give us some examples of experiencing some resistance to this program?
I'll mention two. So they started in the PTRA in 1975. And late in 1975, we've only been in existence a few months. We got our first lawsuit. Oh, great. So they, as it's described to me, and I have the lawsuit paper that's this thick, and I went through all of it. Basically, a lady had come to us who was of a different faith than what we were, and she said, "This is unconstitutional based on the laws that were made in 1948. Well, fortunately, we had a bunch of superintendents and assistant superintendents that liked the program. So when she sued, PTRA was one of the people's named in the lawsuit against the school district, not just us, but she sued the school district saying they were showing preferential treatment to Christians instead of non-Christians. Certainly we would never want to do that purposely, but what was happening was we were taking time during the school day, and we were taking them at lunch, taking them off site, which wasn't quite off site. We were about 4 feet on site of the school with one of our trailers, and the school was nice enough that they were giving us power. We didn't have to pay for power, that was great. Except for the government didn't see it that way. They saw it, you can't do that. So we didn't lose the lawsuit, but we agreed to the terms and conditions of the lawsuit, which was move the trailer, take the power off, abide by the rules about taking extra time during the laws. And we basically caved and let her have her way. She was in Indianapolis for two more years and then moved to another state. She was making a point, and she made her point, and we did have to change some things. But every business, every church, you have to tweak things constantly, right? This was just a tweak. This was just an example of God showed us how to fix it. We fixed it, and then we went on. The second thing was that we had a principal a few years back. I won't tell you the principal's name or the school, but he was very much against PTRA. And said that, his way of doing it was, he didn't have a room for us. He didn't have a room for this. We couldn't do that. We couldn't go to that room, couldn't. So he says, but I have the perfect room. You can put the fourth and fifth grade in the gymnasium. So you have dozens of kids, fourth on one in the room and fifth grade in the other room. And was it the best year? I'm kind of a person that says, he's doing this despite us, right? But you know what? We still taught the kids, and the kids still learned. And then the next year, we went to the assistant superintendent at the time and said, this is what happened. She says, that won't happen again. So she told the principal, we are supporting PTRA, and you are going to support PTRA. And guess what? Next year, we had two rooms to teach the fourth grade and the fifth grade. So the administration has been wonderful for us as far as supporting us. And he was kind of had his feathers ruffled, and then we were there for a couple more years, and he turned out to be a really nice guy, and he didn't understand what we were doing, you know, teaching these kids and what the responsibility we as all of us have the responsibility of teaching these kids what's right and what's wrong, and based on the Bible, and so it turned out good, and now we have these rooms in both the classrooms. Today, this year, we have 31 fifth graders and 22 fourth graders in that school. So it's amazing.
The principals, by and large, though, have been favorable.
Yeah.
You mentioned one that was kind of adverse to the program, at least at first, but have you had some very positive experiences with principals?
Absolutely. Principal of Glen Valley, Mr. Roll, was absolutely amazing. When I first took over as president, I went down and wanted to make sure everything was okay, so I met with every principal. And he brought me in the office, we talked for a few minutes, he says, I'm a supporter. So we talked about everything else but PTRA. And he is a wonderful principal, was a great example for all the others. He actually spoke to other principals and telling them about our program. So he was wonderful. So you have a couple of bad ones, but in large, all of the principals were amazing. Mr. Sponsel at Abraham Lincoln is an amazing principal. He left 2 years ago, but was amazing. He came in and said, what do you want? I said, well, I'd like to have this and this and this. Okay. And he let me take the kids a little bit early. They had recess, so I took them. Sorry, they had lunch. I took them 10 minutes out of lunch, and then they had their recess. So when I taught there, I had 40 minutes, so 32, but still it's 10 more minutes. And so he was a wonderful principal to work with. We have lots of them. Mrs. Hardesty at Henry Barkhart, she's an amazing principal. She's very, very supportive of us. She used to be at Rosa Parks, and now she's at Henry Barkhart, so.
I think you mentioned that there was a lawsuit clear back in 1975, so here we are 50 years later.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been changes in legislation and laws concerning, I guess, faith-based organizations and religion, so-called, in schools. Do you perceive, Bob, the current cultural climate here in this area, here on the South Side, do you perceive that it's moving in a direction that is more favorable for teaching biblical values, or do you see it just the opposite, that there's mounting opposition? What's your perception of that?
I believe it's getting better. It's not getting worse at the present time. The people that were opposed to us have now moved on, and then I think that Christians in general, you know, this Charlie Kirk, when he passed away, we're seeing that story over and over and over again. Kids are talking about it. Well, if kids are talking about this and they're listening more to what God has to say for their lives, I mean, the time is right now. Let's all get involved. Let's go do it right now, right? So I think that if you look at all the if you ever talk to kids about politics, it's funny, kids like to come to PTRA and talk politics. I'm going, what? You know, it's funny what they have to say about it. Of course, the kids are only a reflection of what their parents are thinking at home or saying at home, right? Sometimes those facts aren't right, not correct. But I think that the fact that they're talking about what Christianity is in our global issue, I think it's interesting that they're at least talking about it, and they're talking about it. Sometimes they can't talk to their parents because they're in other languages, but I think it's interesting that they're talking about it, and I perceive that it's going to get better before it gets worse, which I think is a good thing. I think it's good for all of our churches. You know, we still have to go out and do what God tells us to do. We have to go out and do the things we're supposed to be doing. But I believe that people are more open to God and to listening to you about God. I think that that's going to probably get better before it gets worse.
We had a little bit of a Q&A time downstairs. Somebody asked a few questions down there, but does anyone have a question you'd like to direct to Bob right now about the program? Greg.
Just popped into my head. Can you use any sort of a Bible translation? I mean, like, if you're teaching the children about Jesus and they don't speak English, how do you go about doing that?
We have a lot of one-on-one time. They're learning English. Mm-hmm. That for Perry Township School System, they have six major goals. But one of the top goals is the fact that they want their kids to be English speaking and reading, writing, everything. So they're learning it. So if they've been here a couple years, they probably have done it. There's very few fourth or fifth graders that we get that are just from Bosnian refugees. There are several second, third graders, younger families, but I think that we do not do any kind of interpretation. We use the English Bible, English-speaking Bible. We translated. We went to the ESV Bible this year. We used NIV, ESV, and King James. We've used all three of those. So the ESV is very simple for the kids to understand. It's a good translation. So we use that now, and it's amazing when you're. One of the things I like to do when I'm teaching, if I'm reading a long section in the Bible, there's not really not a nice way for me to say this. I like to bribe kids. So if kids are reading the Bible with me, and I'm reading along with the Bible, and I stop, I look up, the first hand I see, they say the word, they get a piece of candy. I wasn't paying attention, especially when you're doing a rapid fire class and you got to keep everybody involved. So I probably give out more candy than most people, but even the Burmese children will stay in touch, and I purposely call on them several times. Now they may not know how to pronounce the word, but they know exactly where we're at. So then I'll help them say the word, or their neighbor will help them say the word. So,
any other questions? Betty?
Do you have a specific curriculum that you use?
I do.
Each school is on the same schedule?
Each school are using the same lessons. They may not be on the same schedule for some obvious reasons. Election days, we don't have class. Mondays, we have a lot of holidays, so those Monday people are off a couple, and they've already had three Mondays off. The Wednesday people have already had an e-learning day, so they're off from the rest of them. I think there's only two classes that are actually where we think they should be for this time of year. In the middle, we have 35 lessons. We have 35 classes, and we have 37 lessons. So we do that so that everybody is on the same. If I'm substituting, I can go to lesson, let's say I'm going to teach lesson 23, they call me in the morning up. Okay, great, I already know what that is, I've already taught it. We have two different ways of teaching. We have what we call electronic, which I give everyone a PowerPoint of every lesson, so they can go through the PowerPoint and they can do it very quickly. It has lots of pictures, has lots of things that they can do. Then we also then have you ever heard of a BECCA program? So BECCA was from Florida. That's really where our lessons came from. Back in the 70s, that we've tweaked them several times, but they started out being a BECCA programs with paper, pictures, and they can do things like that. Obviously, they didn't have electronics back then. Most of the, probably when I took over, there were probably three or four teachers teaching with electronics. Now I probably got 14 of the 16 teaching with electronics. I like for them to teach electronics because that's the way I teach. If I had to use paper again, I'm not sure I could do it. flannel graphs and that stuff, I can't. I figure it out, but most of the schools, we've got televisions now, and we can do electronics.
All right, another quick question?
Yeah, I'd like to. Bob, if you'd share with us again the ethnic breakdown in Perry Township schools, I think that was
okay. One of the slides that I showed in the morning, Sunday school, was that there's a verse in the Bible, the Great Commission is for us to all go and teach the Bible, right, to all nations. You answered the question, we go and teach, spreading the gospel on it. Well, fortunately, in the state, well, this is in Perry Township, I don't, I do know what it is in the whole state. So the demographics of the entire state are, for instance, like an Asian, the entire state's 3%, okay? For Perry Township, it's 29%. That's huge. So these are kids that are not little white kids that are coming to class, right? These are kids that are of all different colors. That used to be a song, Jesus Loves the Little Children, red and yellow, black and white, right? We have them all. So that's blacks, 13%, Hispanics, 17%. The white people, white kids in Perry Township is only 35%. So it's not very much more than what the Asians are, right? So the point of the Great Commission is going to all the world and preach the gospel. We don't have to do that. Chances are I'm never going to do that. At 65, I'm not probably going to go into the other world. I've been on mission trips, but I'm not going to go there and do that a permanent job. We don't have to. God's bringing all those little kids to us. What an awesome experience that we get to give, teach all these different groups from all around the world in Perry Township Religious Ed. Who would have thunk that? It's pretty amazing.
All right. One more question? All right. Well, I think you can realize this is quite an impressive program and a wonderful opportunity that we have right here in our backyard, so to speak, and in our public school systems. On the note page in your bulletins, some of this information came from Bob's presentation in Sunday school time, but I want to be sure that if you are taking notes, you get these points where you see current program there. Each child who participates in the program, Bob went into this quite a bit downstairs, but receives a Bible at the beginning of the school year. And Bob shared with us how proud those kids are when they get that Bible and how special it is to them. Sure.
So thinking about these kids, they may have six or seven siblings, a mother and a father, and they're the only person in their family that has a Bible. Think about the old days when they, the real old days, like when they hand wrote the Bible and they were transcribing on it. It's got to be the same feeling. They're the only person in their family that has a Bible. It blows my mind when I think of these kids. The ones that are precious about it, they want to tell their family, they want to tell everybody that they have their Bible, and they let their parents read their Bible. So that's pretty fun.
Well, and just be sure we all understand this is a program for fourth and fifth graders. It's they started this school year with 312 children in attendance, and it's as Bob indicated, it's a program that generally covers 35 weeks. As we close here, I want us to make sure that we are aware of the way we can be supportive of PTREA other than the monthly support financially that we send. We do that and have been for years, and we will continue that. But prayer support is extraordinarily important. And so let's make sure that we have this down. And if you haven't got these blanks filled in, let me ask you to do that. And maybe you can just put this up somewhere where you can frequently think of praying for PTREA. Prayers for the children, obviously, of Perry Township. Prayers for school administrators, and particularly the superintendent. Bob has shared with us that our current superintendent is extraordinarily favorable toward this program. We want to keep it that way. Prayers for more teachers. There's a need, right, Bob?
There is.
For more teachers. So if you are maybe feeling a little tug on your heart this morning, that maybe that's something I can do. Bob has already told us there's quite a range of ages, 22 up to 78 or something like that. So you're probably not too young and you're probably not too old. So see Bob today if that interests you. So prayers for more teachers, prayers for additional board members. I think you said a couple have passed recently, so there is a need there. And obviously prayers for continued and even increased financial support. I was very, very impressed with these demographics that Butch, you asked Bob to go over again. And a statement that Bob made today, most of us won't go to all the nations, but God is bringing the nations to us. I think that's a powerful, powerful observation. And do you realize, with the diversity in our current school system of all these various ethnic groups, that is really a true statement. And what a remarkable opportunity this is. Have you appreciated having Bob Boone with us today, folks? Have you? Yeah. Thank you.